Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Fourth and final hour. Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5. The game on this Wednesday afternoon. Chris Mason, who's going to join us in just a moment, and Bob Costas here in the final hour. Hey, if you're looking for a way to support your teachers before school starts again, you can sign up to sponsor teacher supply bags through Together for Teachers, a citywide campaign from the nonprofit Pencil to support Metro Nashville Public School teachers. Throughout June and July, you can help celebrate over 6,500 teachers in your local community. Learn more about the Together for Teachers campaign at thegamenashville.com. That is our website. Pencil is Nashville's premier nonprofit linking resources to Metro Nashville schools to help students achieve success in school and in life. Chris Mason, former Predators goaltender, Willie's partner in the television booth on Fox Sports Tennessee, is on the line with us. Every Wednesday he chats with us at 1. Chris, if you were playing, I said former, but if you were current and playing, what would your mindset be right now as you're getting ready to get back into a routine, back out on the ice?
I would be ecstatic. I think that all the guys, are just, they want to get back. When you're a hockey player and you're in the middle of the season, especially, and something like this happens, whether your season ends and you're coming back into training or, you know, this situation, you just want to get back, be around the guys, have purpose, just like everybody else. But you want to go, you want to compete, and you want to be back on that ice and doing everything you can to help your team win a hockey game. So I would just be jacked. I'd be the happiest guy in the world right now if I was coming back to play hockey.
You'd be sleeping in your skates?
I would be, yeah. I'd have my equipment out and working in some new gear or whatever. I'd be ready to go. I'm pumped, you know, as a fan and a broadcaster. I want to do that. I want to do my job. I have the passion for my job, and these guys love what they do. And, you know, that's when, you know, you feel your best, when you're on the ice and you're competing, you're in the locker room with the guys, and, you know, you're all working together in a common goal, trying to do something special.
Would there be any apprehension at all in what you're, you know, being off this long and all the unfamiliarity of what you've been doing 3+ months and then getting back into that and everything else that we know that's going on in the world, you know, just safety and everything? Would there be any apprehension at all?
I think obviously maybe at first there would be, and you know, before you start getting back into it, there'd be, you know, those types of feelings. But that's the one beauty I find in sports, and when you're working at something, and, you know, for that short time, your focus is so intense on what you're doing and what you're, you know, the task at hand. I think that all kind of, you know, disappears for that time being. And obviously, you know, after games and practices, you reflect on that stuff and maybe think about it a little bit more. But when you're at the rink around the guys, you have to have that focus and to be able to block everything out, whether it's, you know, what's going on in the world or your own personal problems or, you know, anything, you know, that might be a distraction. And that's the beauty of it. You know, you need to get away from that stuff too. You obviously have to, you know, keep all that stuff in mind and be cognizant of it. But there's also times when you have to just, you know, just take a mental break and focus on something else and enjoy life. And, you know, that's what hockey is for these guys. And that's, you know, that's what sports is. So I think that, you know, that stuff will be probably thought about when they're not at the rink, I imagine.
Yeah. We just played Roman Josi, who just spoke with the media last hour. And so we heard from the captain. You've been very outspoken. We've been out very spoken. A lot of people coming to his defense and getting rewarded for his play. I mean, that should happen, and we'll find out if indeed it does happen. What makes him unique? What makes him a special defenseman in the league?
Well, there's so many things, and, you know, I love to, when we're talking with Skillsy about it, because he just geeks out about, you know, Roman Josi. We all do. But there's nobody that in the league, there's no one that plays his position that can single-handedly create the type of offense that he does. His skating ability, the way that his deception with the puck, how fluid he is with it, the way that he gets through the neutral zone. You just see when he gets the puck, defenders, they can't attack him because, you know, his edges are so good that he really keeps them at bay and really, you know, gets them to kind of, you know, move one way, and then he goes the other way and he gets around them. And his vision in the game is really second to none, because it just amazes me so many times when I'm watching him and I see him with the puck and he skates it from the defensive zone. There's not a pass there, so he takes it up, and then he goes through the neutral zone, then he gets in the offensive zone, then he's in the corner and he's looking at who to pass to, and then he circles back, and then, you know, he either makes a play, and, you know, let's say the puck happens to be turned over, and all of a sudden I look and Roman Josi's the first guy back. There's just nobody can do that. It's just incredible, the hockey sense, and obviously the skill and the skating and just the total package. But there's no one in the league that's quite like him. There's, you know, Thomas Chabot, I would say, in Ottawa, who, you know, we don't see a ton of, I would say, is, you know, maybe a younger version of Roman Josi. He has the ability to do that. But, you know, you combine his offensive skills with his defense, and he's just a total package. He's the best, especially this season. He was, to me, by far the best defenseman in the NHL. And I know that, you know, when I say that, too, and if I go on other, you know, talk shows, you know, obviously people are going to assume that I'm biased. But I'm not taking anything away from all the other awesome, amazing defensemen in the NHL. John Carlson had a Norris-caliber trophy year. He might end up winning the trophy. But to me, this year, bias and having the, you know, the luxury and the opportunity to watch Roman Josi every game, he's by far and away the best. And honestly, I honestly don't really think it's even close.
Wow, you don't think it's even close?
I think the eye test.
Interesting.
No. I don't either. I think it's very clear-cut. You guys heard me in the you just made the list. Fear that I have is I do think it's clear cut, and but I have these pangs of not Darren Pang, but these pangs of anxiety because we've seen
wow
we saw Shea Weber in that very same
spot.
But I felt like that in I guess it was 2012 or 2011, the two seasons where I was sure. In my mind, and maybe I wasn't as confident in myself back then about what I was watching. I think I've grown in how I see the game every year, and it's been almost a decade now. But I was sure Shea Weber was going to win one of those two. So you just
but Willie, a lot of things have changed.
But I do think it's clear.
A lot has changed since then, man. The market is viewed completely different. The Predators, the organization, the city, everything is viewed around the league and by writers and the media so different than back then. True? I mean, come on. We both lived. I mean, it's completely different now.
But my point is the voters all have their own mind, right, and what drives them. And so I don't know. I don't know that he's going to win it, even though I am sure that he is the best defenseman this year.
Yeah, and I agree, too, because I feel like a lot of the hockey media is East heavy. There's, you know, New York and Toronto, and in Canada, you know, they're going to get to see John Carlson a lot more. I just hope, and I agree with both of your points, actually, because DMACC, you know, with social media and obviously the NHL hockey packages and all this type of thing, and this market have grown to the point where it is now. I think it's definitely in the mix. But again, you know, it was another one of those things, like the year Pekka won the Vezina Trophy, all the talk, just because of the start that John Carlson got off to, which was incredible. And everyone else, he kind of was, you know, under him, they were secondary, third, you know, you just throw a couple names in there because as far as everybody was concerned at that point, that he was a runaway for the award. And then Josi, you know, went on a major tear, and he's been consistent the whole entire year. And he caught up a little bit in points, and he just, you know, started doing his thing. And so you have to still, I find, change the narrative. And there's a lot of people that do the homework and do watch the games and do pay attention to the deeper analytics and all those types of things, which is awesome. But again, it's tough to knock that narrative down and to make Josi jump up over John Carlson, even though there's been a ton of articles that have stated just what we're saying right now, that, you know, Roman Josi is the clear cut, should be the clear cut winner of this award for the season he's having. And, you know, we get to see him every game. They would not have made playoffs without his caliber of year that he had.
You're right to bring that up. And, Willie, I'm glad you kind of brought us to this point. It is East Coast heavy, but also north of here. And, Chris, you're the perfect one to ask because of, you know, being from Red Deer and, you know, talking with so many people up north of here. What has, I mean, just think about the time frame, Willie, something 8 to 10 years ago to today. How different are the conversations about Nashville, the Predators, you know, hockey in the South, all that, that whole narrative? How different is it in your conversations?
Oh, it's night and day.
Yeah.
I remember, you know, when I played here and I would have friends come down from Canada and they'd, you know, at first, before they came down, they'd be like, oh, you know, they're from Red Deer and Calgary and all that. And they've had hockey forever, however long. And they're like, oh, yeah, it'll be fine. We'll catch a hockey game and, you know, whatever, check it out. Kind of just discrediting what the market's going to be like. But after every single one of them, and this is to this day, if no one's been here to watch a hockey game, they're blown away. First of all, you're getting, you know, the team is awesome now. And we had good teams back then too. And then the entertainment value and the energy and the experience and Broadway and just everything about it. And it's just, you know, it used to be the hidden gem, you know, of the NHL for, you know, people to come watch a game. And now that, you know, with the success that the organization has had and the team's had, it just leaps and bounds. And I think social media and access to hockey and, you know, NHL Network and all the media coverage that this city's getting, the All-Star Game. I talked to, I don't know how many people at the All-Star Game that go to every All-Star Game, and they came to Nashville and they said, this is by far and away the best one we've ever been to. We've been to the last 10 in a row. You know, there's people like that. And I think, you know, the secret, it doesn't stay secret very long, just as the city, now everyone's moving here. So it's in the hockey world, it's pretty much the same as the city itself. It's up there with any market. No question.
Mace, one of the things that has also changed since that time where Shea Weber, I think, was robbed of at least one, if not two, awards is the wave of analytics and stuff that we now have more in the mainstream that we're all learning about at our own paces. And you've participated in a couple of articles here in The Athletic about, you know, how as broadcasters we're now starting to present this in the right doses. But one of the things that I think is a dynamic, if you watch our broadcasts, that I'm constantly talking about shots and shot attempts. You're taking that in, but you're also pointing out during a game which team is getting the better quality shots, right? What's really a scoring chance? What's a difficult shot for a goaltender to handle? I've been really intrigued, and I shared this with you, the insights of this guy named Steve Valiquette, who's a longtime goalie. He spent most of his career in the minor leagues, did spend some time in the NHL as a backup, but he's got this database now where he's looking at it really from the goaltender's perspective. What are the shots that go in? What are the shot chances that create the most trouble for a goalie? Because sometimes we look at analytics, Mace, and we're not even, like, if you, like, we all argue what is really, we get Skillsy involved in these conversations too. What really is a high danger scoring chance, right? If a shot is taken from a spot on the ice, you're quick to point out a lot of times, well, it's not just where the shot is taken from. If I see it for a half a second and I'm set, I'm going to stop it, even if it's the best shooter in that spot. It's other types of shots that are more dangerous. So it's an ever-evolving process, but to me, it's really intriguing to try to take all this in and try to learn more.
Well, I love talking about this stuff. I've actually talked to Mitch Korn on end when I first retired about trying to come up with some sort of analytical system to grade scoring chances, because just as you said, as some analytics have it, it's a scoring chance is in a zone, in an area. So, you know, the rectangle around the net, around the front of the net, the house area, that's, you know, a high danger scoring chance. Well, what kind of shot was that? Was that a shot that was a loose puck that, you know, a guy had half a second to get it off and the goalie was already standing there? Well, yeah, it's in a scoring area, but is that really a high danger scoring chance? But what about the one that shot from the point that deflects off of one of their players in front of the net and the goalie finds a way to make a save or it goes in the net? That's a high danger scoring chance, in my opinion. Does it come across the center ice and go through three guys to the other side and it's a one-timer for maybe outside, you know, that zone one area, the house area, on the far side, but it's in the zone two area? Well, that's a high danger scoring chance. Is it a right-hander coming down the right side with no back pressure? Is it a left-hander that's got more net to shoot at? You know, there's so many different things that I think go into this, because, you know, the analytics tell certain part of the story. It helps tell a bigger part than just the shots, because, you know, back in the day when I was growing up, well, you guys got outshot 45-25 and you lose, you know, 4-1, whatever the case may be. Well, that doesn't tell the story. That's just a number. It doesn't say that, you know, we went down and shot the puck out from the wing 45 times and the goalie had an easy night. Meanwhile, the guy at the other night was getting deflections, breakaways, 2-on-1s. But now they're starting to, and Steve Valiquette too, I just love what he's doing, because it really does help break it down even more. So then you know where you're getting scored on, where you're giving up chances, what kind of the quality of the dot where that shot is, the quality of that shot on net. So I love this stuff, and there's so many layers to it. You know, deflection, screens, how do you do that? Every shot is a completely different scenario. So it doesn't matter if you have five shots in this one area. They're all different. Some may be high in danger. You may have five in the house, and only one of them is a high danger scoring chance, in my opinion. And you may have, you know, 10 from the outside, and you have half of those are high danger, just depending on the circumstance. So it's really, you know, it's really something that we could really spend a lot of time talking about. I know I can.
Oh, yeah. Well, also the analytics, it's clear, continue to evolve, right? And they're trying to refine themselves and get better and better at illustrating what's happening on the ice. One other thing that Valiquette hits on, Mace, I want to hit you with. He talked about how there are goalies that statistically the analytics can show, you know, they're not as effective when the score is close. The best goalies are the ones that they do really, really well when the score is close, and it's high pressure situations too. But that goes to mental toughness. We had a great discussion earlier this week on our show about, can you teach mental toughness, or is that something that a goalie just has to have?
I really think you can teach it. I think you're going to need, you know, help and tools just like anything else to be able to do that, whether you have a sports psychologist or something of that nature that's really involved in helping a goalie develop, or any athlete develop, those type of skills. But I definitely think it's something that's that you can learn. I know for myself, I learned a lot of that just from experience over the course of my career. But I think if, you know, you had access to some training or some coaching early on in your career, youth sports, or, you know, that type of thing, I definitely think that's something that you could learn at a young age. I know Carter Hart, I think he's got a sports psych psychologist that he worked with in junior hockey. And, you know, you look at him and it looks like nothing fazes the kid. And he's, you know, he was a 20-year-old goaltender coming to the NHL. I'd be shaking in my boots if I was 20, you know, going in the NHL. I was at training camp, you know, just playing with these guys that I watched on TV my whole life, and all of a sudden I'm in the dressing room getting ready to go on the ice with these guys. It's intimidating, but I think if you have those tools, and it's training, it's just like training your body, you know, you're training your mind to be able to handle these situations, to when you're, you know, you let in a bad goal, to be able to process that and get rid of it and move on, put it behind you, move on. You know, you can worry about that later, but the next shot is the most important thing. And to not let, you know, what just happened 10 seconds ago affect what happens 10 seconds from now. So I definitely think you can learn, and there's a lot of resources out there to be able to do that. It's just a matter if the teams, you know, put money into that, or players go and search that out on their own at a young age with their agents or parents or whatever. And if teams are going to hire those types of coaches and people to help with that that part of the game as well. But I definitely think you can improve on it, no doubt.
Let's save this for next week and talk about, because I'm interested with that answer and how you go about that with kids in youth sports, how you teach that at a much younger age. You're talking about it on a professional level. But let's talk. I'd love to get your thoughts on how do you do that. How do you go about doing that at a younger age? Is that cool?
I can't wait. I'm you know what? My daughter's she's at a point in her softball career. Well, career. She's 13 years old, but we went through this. We're going through some of those things.
That's where I'm at. Yes, great. But I've got an 8-year-old, and yeah, I know you've got an 8-year-old. So I'd love. Then Willie is 14-year-old. Is that so? We're all trying to figure out the mental part.
I've got a girl, high school goalie in the family. We're all looking into mental toughness. Right?
Don't want to leave Evie out. You're right. So let's get into that next week.
I can't wait. That'd be awesome.
Hey, thanks as always. Have a great week. Appreciate it.
Okay, you guys too. Take care.
Chris Mason, that was good. I hated that we had to end there, but we will certainly pick this back up next week with him. When we come back on the other side, you'll hear our conversation with Hall of Fame broadcaster Bob Costas. That's next on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.